Thank you, Mark, for reading that. And I want to say something about The Cross in My Pocket. Carl Hitzman wrote that song. Thank you, Carl. And this is the first time it was performed, I think, right? Or right around, first time here. And when you leave, you're used to on Palm Sunday getting the palm branch and placing that at a place where you can always remember Palm Sunday. You'll be given two things today, though. There will be some children who will hand you a palm, but you also will be given, it's an olive wood cross from Israel. Got a bunch of them last time I was there, and I was wondering what would be the best opportunity for us to use these crosses at Fox River. And I was thinking maybe sometime on a Good Friday service, but actually it's very appropriate that, you know, last Sunday we combined the Sunday morning and the communion service with Holy Thursday. Well, we're kind of combining Palm Sunday and Good Friday today. So you'll get a palm in one hand and a cross in the other. And if you think about it, the two really go together, because there was a procession of the palms and also the procession to Calvary. So it's so appropriate. And I want to thank you, Carl and Rhonda, for sharing your gifts in music for us in our worship. Well, what I'd like to do this morning is for us to look at this whole story of Palm Sunday. And what I wanted to do visually this morning is went back to some pictures I had collected and some trips to Israel. And as you see places mentioned in the scriptures where Jesus went on this processional, on this colt, you'll be able to see on the screen above you what it actually looked like. Now, there's a number of sites in Israel. They'll say this is an area that commemorates an event, or they will say this place, this really happened here, and they will give a number of the archaeological reasons for saying that. The root of the passion of, or I should say of the triumphal entry, it's soundly the route that I'm to show you is the one that Jesus entered into, because the scriptures are very descriptive as to where that walk was. And the gate by which Jesus entered the old city, the Golden Gate. Well, at this particular time in when the scriptures were read, and the story that Mark shared, it was the time of the Passover for Jerusalem. Now, in this Passover, pilgrim caravans came convening upon the city for this great festival. And it was a festival of Israel's independence and their nationhood. Traders even from Mesopotamia, they came into the area and they spread their wares in the marketplace in the city. Now, the historian Flavius Josephus estimated the crowd to be about 3 million. With a crowd like that, you can imagine the authorities, they were concerned about crowd control. The Roman power, they were wary of any kinds of uprising that this kind of crowd could cause. Pilate had taken the occasion to move from his palace in Caesarea to Jerusalem's highest fortress. He was concerned that things be in an orderly fashion. The entire city was aware of an unusually large number of soldiers that were on duty, with their clanking arms and burnished breastplates. And then early one morning, some commotion arose on a road that was to the east of the city. A peculiar Galilean riding on a donkey became the center of interest for a growing procession of villagers. The scripture tells us that this was first visible from the temple and the city walls. The procession followed around the southern shoulder right to the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives, it's an interesting place. You can see from the pictures there that right to the lower left-hand side is what's known as the Church of All Nations. And right beside that is the Garden of Gethsemane. So this very place where Jesus went through on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem was also the place where he wept and cried. And as he had his prayer to God that if this cup might be taken from him, let it be so. But then he also said, but Father, your will, not mine. And so from the Mount of Olives, he turned northward beside the Kidron Valley and descended gradually and wound its way westward towards the Golden Gate of the city. I don't think we realize as Christians the significance of Jesus entering in by the Golden Gate. There's many entry points into the old city, but the Golden Gate has a number of significance. For one thing, the Jews always believed that when the Messiah would come, the Messiah would appear at the Golden Gate. And so that obviously is the gate that Jesus entered into. The whole procession seemed remarkably excited. Palm branches were being waved and placed in the path of this Galilean. Garments were being thrown down. Songs and shouts from the crowd. Hosanna, they kept shouting. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you just imagine what that was like? The Savior has come, waving the palms. And even the palms itself has significance. For in Israel's history, there was a very brief period of time when it had absolute independence, when it was not under the control of Rome or any other outfit. But they were thoroughly independent, and the only coinage they've ever had in their history at this point, when they were totally independent, it had palm branches on the coin. So the palm was always a symbol in the history of Israel of freedom. Both the Roman guards and the temple authorities, they were on their alert. You gotta keep the crowd controlled. They were not about to tolerate a rebel rouser when there were so many people gathered in one place. Now, the way the Gospel of Matthew recounts this story, recounts the experience by saying that the city was moved. His expression is sometimes translated, all the city was stirred. That word moved and stirred is the same word in Greek that means earthquake. Now, I guess if I was writing a translation, I would use the word earthquake. I think it is a little more descriptive, saying that Jesus entered Jerusalem with a great multitude of enthusiasts, and it shook the city and made the authorities quake in their boots and caused a tremor to run through the hearts of the spectators. That just seems a little more descriptive, but whatever word you use, it was an electrifying time. Now, there had been others who had moved through this gate of Jerusalem, this Golden Gate, in its history. They've entered into it with high acclaim. For instance, this was the gate that King David brought the Ark to the temple. It was through the Golden Gate. And then almost 1,000 years ago, the Crusaders marched across Europe to rescue the Holy Sepulchre from the medieval Muslims. And they went through this gate to bring it back. And World War I saw at this gate General Allenby and his British army receiving the keys to the city. But no crowds gather today to reenact the parades of King David. And you don't find the crowds gathering today to reenact the crusading Europeans or the famous generals of the army. But they do gather every year.
And they are doing that today. They are gathering to reenact in order to remember the arrival of Jesus. Now, compared to the others, I suspect that this procession of Jesus and his followers into Jerusalem lacked all the pomp and circumstance you would probably expect the others had. In fact, it was probably considered rustic by the city fathers. But nevertheless, with the palm branches, the hosannas, the garments laid on the road, they laid them on the road just to keep the dust down. It was a joyous, happy event with more than casual significance. Indeed, to anyone who knew the scriptures and was able to kind of piece together the place and the symbols, they knew that something dramatic was happening. It would have been filled with symbolic meaning. For thus it was written that the Messiah would come and would triumph. This is the triumph of our Lord. But then we could honestly ask ourselves, now in what sense is this really a triumph? And we can especially ask it in light of another procession that takes place just 5 days later. And that is, of course, the procession to Calvary. Jesus, who entered the city to acclaim on Sunday, is led to execution on Friday. Among the shouts, "Crucify him." From "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," to "Crucify him." And I suppose that if we would end the story right there, end it with Calvary, we would have to write off Palm Sunday and its bright procession as a hopeless thrust against a custom in which the old ways would just win out. But we're not at Easter, but we have to go through this route first and understand what happened here so we can ever value Easter. With a story of Palm Sunday is, in a sense, the story of Jesus facing Jerusalem. Facing it. And to face Jerusalem, he was facing a city whose customs were shaped by centuries. A city that was called holy, and the reason it was called holy was because this is the city in which the temple was. But the Palm Sunday, we are also watching that Jesus pits himself against treasured sanctities, ancient tradition, and sacred ceremonies. In jest, we say today when something is a bit out of the ordinary or unusual or different and there's any resistance to that in the church, we'll say, well, the seven last words of the church is, it's never been done that way before. You know, we'll say that. Well, Palm Sunday is the poster event for things not ever being done as they were before. For Jesus is shaking the foundations. For we are observing Jesus as he takes a stand for a fresh interpretation and a fresh practice of ancient ways. A stand for the value of the person in contrast to the importance of social custom. Now think of that change of value. A value of the person in contrast of the importance of a social custom. As I was thinking about that this week, I happened to think of our new brochure. These are out in the lobby. And
I hope you pick one up, or two up, or three up, and give them to some of your friends. This was developed by the evangelism team. A lot of energy went into this. This brochure has been mailed Friday to every new resident in this community in the last 6 months, inviting them to this new church. But it tells our story in a very thematic way. What we believe, something about our programs, something about the pastor, something about the church in the woods. But there is this other panel we call the historical panel. And there's an expression in this brochure that I think really hits to the point of what Jesus is getting at as he entered into Jerusalem, talking about the value of the person. And it is a slogan that we have on this brochure that says, a new congregation, a historic church, a relevant message. Think about it. New congregation, that's us. Historic church, we've been around for 2,000 years. A relevant message, it's just as relevant today as it ever has been. And that's the kind of gospel when Jesus entered Jerusalem. And the kind of risk that he was saying of the value of the individual. Well, there is also another city that I'd like for us to look at this morning. And it's when it all comes around to what we have to say. And I guess I would call this other city that Jesus seeks to enter into. It is a city we tend to think of as that which is within us. It is a city of, you would call this thing inside us, of our inherited patterns, our ways of doing things. And maybe as we look inside this city of ourselves, we may also see some of the dead weight of our habits, some of the stuff that just shouldn't be there. It may even be reflected in unreflective living. But here is a city within that cries for deliverance, just as the old city, that Jerusalem that Jesus entered into, cried for deliverance. And so now here's the question. Do we dare to enter this city of ourselves as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? And it may be a bit uncomfortable. In the movie, The Passion of the Christ, actor Jim Caviezel played the central character of Jesus. Although playing the role was a great honor, it really wasn't a walk in the park. Caviezel suffered hypothermia. He dislocated his shoulder carrying the cross, and he was struck by lightning. Isn't that interesting? All of those things happened as he shot the movie. In looking back at the months that it took to film that movie and the amount of activity that went through it, Caviezel had this to say. He said, there was always a new pain every day. Literally, there was. So now it is Palm Sunday, though, and it's 2005. That Golden Gate door may be a door into your heart, into your life. Maybe a door that you go through at the workplace or at home, or a door that you enter into relationships. The Christ still comes, riding into our Jerusalems. And we are again faced with the necessity to respond to the event of the Jesus who comes to each of our hearts. And that is, what are we going to say? What will you say? Do we say, crucify him? You know, we do that when we ease God out of our lives. Or do we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Blessed is he who comes
in the name of the Lord. My friends, we've got a week ahead of us that is the most holy of all times. It is an opportunity that I believe God wants to take to enter into the city of our soul, to occupy it, and to allow His grace, His mercy, His justice, and His love to do a number on all of us, to be King and Savior. Let us pray. Holy God, the one who comes through the humility of a colt, the one who enters Jerusalem and enters our lives as this humble carpenter who bore the grief and pain for our sin, that we can be forgiven. Lord, we thank You that You enter our lives. And we pray that in this holy week, we will really carve out time for You to express the ways in which our lives need to reflect Your touch, that it will be realized. Yes, we are a new people of a historic church with the relevant message. Lord, bring that home in remarkable, empowering ways. We would ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Would you please stand? Let us sing our concluding hymn.